Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. Thanks for staying with us into the guest segment of our show. As you know, this is the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a special guest. This is our very special guest. And we're going to be talking about some highly volatile subjects. And sorry to the censors that don't like this, but this is reality. Okay? And I'll tell you what, you get a lot more truth here from our guests like Mike Adams than you will from any of the networks. Hey, before we go to Mike, I need to remind you, we've got a couple people that keep the lights on, and we always choose sponsors with products that we feel you're going to need. And right now, food shortage is underway, folks. We've experienced it in our family. My sister has experienced it. My wife's experienced it. We've seen food inflation. It's crazy what's going on. And the 19 meatpacking plants are still closed. They should be reopened, but can't use food as a weapon if there's not a shortage. And we're eating yesterday's harvest. So what do? You buy storable food, and you buy lots of it. Go to preparewithdave.com for 25-year shelf life, restaurant quality. That's preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you better have water, and you better have a way to filtrate it. So we do have that too, waterwithdave.com. And look at the research when you go to that site. It shows you why this is better than the competitor, and they're having a sale right now for 40% off. Show me where else in the country you're having a sale. Nowhere. Prices are jacked unbelievably high, but not these guys. 40% off. waterwithdave.com for the best in water filtration. So you got the food, you got the water, and now we have Mike Adams. Mike, thanks for joining us. And my goodness, I never thought in my whole career that we would be going through what we're going through now. I didn't see this coming this soon. I guess that's what I should say.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dave. You're doing just amazing analysis work.
And so are you.
By the way.
So are you.
Well, and you've been spot on about this, but you're right. I mean, the timing has even taken us by surprise, even though we knew a lot of this was going to happen. But with Trump now announcing that thousands of, quote, heavily armed soldiers will be deployed to the cities if the governors fail to act, he's laying down the gauntlet. This is a very positive move, in my opinion, by the president, because the Democrat governors are trying to tell the police to back off. They're trying to cause maximum property damage, economic chaos, and civil unrest and uprisings. You know, the Democrat governors have decided, long ago actually, that they are willing to destroy America to prevent Trump from having power in it. And they're making good on that promise, for sure. And Trump has now, I think, declared war against the enemies of America. So he's going to need our help, by the way. Maybe we can talk about that on this show.
Yeah, I think we should talk about that. And I do agree it's a positive move for Trump to be doing what he's doing and getting the people out armed, heavily armed. I mean, I never thought we'd see people attacking the White House, not domestically, not this early in the game. I thought when they brought into play the terrorists that are embedded here, I thought, yeah, then. I'm shocked at the brazenness. But here's what irritates me, Mike. We have Democratic politicians that refuse to let the police and the National Guard do their job and get these people off the streets. But meanwhile, I got to pay for this tyranny by having myself locked down at 8 o'clock every night. It's ridiculous.
Well, exactly. And rest assured that your rights are restricted, but the rights of the looters are expanded to the point where they have legal immunity now against everything. So they can destroy property at will. They can attack police without repercussions. They can burn down police stations. They can invade the Treasury Department building. You know, they can do anything now. They have absolute legal immunity. For some reason, they are the special protected class. The tech giants give them expanded free speech, while your speech and my speech are both oppressed by the same tech platforms, who are, of course, working for Communist China and Antifa. So the president said he was going to declare Antifa to be a domestic terrorism organization. That needs to be done now. And the rules of engagement need to be upgraded so that law enforcement, both federal and local, police and sheriffs, can begin to stand their ground. There needs to be a stand your ground rule where if you are attacked by an imminent violent mob, that you can defend yourself. And the bullets will fly when that happens. But guess what, Dave? None of this is stopping until America decides to defend itself. This will not stop until that happens.
I don't know that it'll ever stop, but I do agree we could at least carve out some security. I talked to someone in DHS last night, and he said they're discussing stand your ground, and they're not listening to the Democrats. They said we're going to come in, and we're not taking orders from them. And the other thing that I've been told I'll put it this way. I talked with Sheriff Richard Mack today, and most people should know who he is. And I was with the sheriff for a couple hours today. And he said, you know, Dave, arson is a lethal event. You can fire on someone committing arson. And he was talking about all the rules of engagement that are legal. And I'm thinking, well, we're not doing anything close to that. We're standing by and watching crimes being committed, and it's by Democratic orders. The police chiefs are afraid of losing their jobs, so they order their people to stand down. This is why I think what you're saying is right on the money. Trump needs to bring someone in who's not answering to the Democratic mayors and governors, and they're going to enforce justice the way it should be enforced.
Well, that's exactly what needs to happen. But imagine, you know, the media is excusing all of this activity by the looters and rioters, and many of these radical Antifa left-wing, you know, lunatics are saying they want to move into white neighborhoods and kill white people. Now, then the media says, that's great. You are to be celebrated. This is part of the process of progress. You have the right to speak. Now, can you imagine if the tables were turned, if a group of white supremacists were to say on Twitter, for example, that they're going to move into the black neighborhoods and start killing people for being black? Can you imagine the outrage, the censorship, the immediate law enforcement action? Those people would be arrested in minutes, probably. But somehow when Antifa says this, then they get a free pass? I'm sorry. That's not law and order. That's not a civil society. That's a violent revolution attempt, and it's got to be stopped.
Well, the Lakeland, Florida chief, and his name jumps out of my head right now, he said something good today. He told the looters, you come into my county, I've already told my citizens, shoot to kill.
There you go. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what needs to happen. And frankly, I hope at some point Trump will appeal to all the concealed carry holders, all the military veterans, the law enforcement veterans across the country, to say, guess what? We're all going to stand our ground together. We're going to defend this nation together. We're going to help defend law enforcement and stop the violent looters. And you know what stops people really well is expanding hollow points and you know, shot placement. As we're all taught, those of us who are, you know, well-trained in firearms use, shot placement. You don't ever shoot people to kill them. You shoot them to stop them. It just happens to be that stopping them and killing them often coincide. But, you know, every law enforcement officer is trained to shoot to stop someone, to stop violence. And that principle needs to be deployed right now, not to shoot to kill, not shooting out of vengeance, but shooting to protect property, protect lives, protect our nation, and protect the rule of law. And that's going to require some lead.
Well, I'm afraid lead's going to be with us for a very long time. The shoot to kill, that reminds me of what I heard from Biden today. He was suggesting the way to stop looting is to shoot people in the legs.
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought that'd be your reaction.
I
knew that was a predictable reaction. I didn't mean to catch you off guard.
Right.
Yeah. I was doing a podcast on this today, and I had the same reaction you did. I couldn't hold it together.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't even know if you want to tear into that, but of course, shooting legs is harder than it sounds because they're always moving. You know, for one thing, it's a moving, relatively small target. That's why in gun training classes, you teach center mass, or for more tactical shooters, you teach some anatomy and you teach them, you know, shoot the pelvis, shoot for the spine, because you're trying to disable the target as quickly as possible. But you never say shoot the leg. You know why? Because they can keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
that's why. It's like, well, shoot them in the forearm. You know, that's not going to stop anybody either, especially if you're using full metal jacket rounds. So you just punch little tiny holes through their calf or something, you know. If you're shooting to stop somebody, you need to have a better plan than Joe Biden's plan.
Well, that leads me to a little detour here, a very brief detour. Joe Biden is showing every day why he can't be a presidential candidate. And I'm kind of thinking now that Hillary's going to ride in on her white horse in the midst of all the chaos as the savior.
Yeah, very good chance that we end up with Hillary. Perhaps a smaller chance that we end up with Michelle Obama. That's a possibility we can't set aside. But I think there's almost a zero chance that we end up with Joe Biden in the running. They are definitely going to. He's a surrogate. You know, he's just a placeholder.
I know, but Michelle Obama, she has as much right to be president as Bernie the bellhop.
Well, I know. No qualifications, of course, but. Think about these race riots. It's kind of setting up the case for an African American candidate to come in and be the sympathy vote, you know, after the media whips up hatred against white people again. It's basically the Obama playbook now during the Trump administration being carried out by the media. And I wouldn't be surprised if Michelle's in the running. But, you know, Hillary is the real crime boss. She's the political mafia leader. She knows where the bodies are buried because she helped bury half of them. You know, she's got the previously encrypted, you know, spying data on the Republicans and so on. If she wants in, she'll find a way to get in. Now, I got a question for you, Dave, though. Do you think she has a chance to win it if she's in it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. The analysis on this is tricky. I mean, first of all, I got to jump two steps ahead of your question to set the tone. We've had phase one of the takedown of America, which is the economic destruction using COVID as the excuse. And it's weakened the military and weakened the industries, and it's bankrupted millions of Americans. So that's phase one. And as phase one is being lifted and people are getting semi back to normal, here comes phase two. What a coincidence it happens in the same week.
Right.
And a crime of opportunity, a murdering policeman against a handcuffed suspect, absolutely no justification. It was wrong. But it's interesting how the playbook in every city is the same. And we know that police chiefs are saying they're arresting people not from their areas. So this is George Soros very clearly bringing people in. So those are your first two phases of destabilization. And the first phase, I think, was designed to take away Trump's big calling card to win, the economy. If there hadn't been this, Trump sails to victory because no one can touch him economically.
Right.
Now all those gains are forfeited and then some. And so that's why where I think Trump is vulnerable. And Trump has an arrested deep state, and it's recircling. I'm telling you, my people that come to my radio show, come to my YouTube, my website, they're pretty universal in what they're saying, Mike. They're saying, is he deep state? Because he won't touch the deep state. And he needs to have some prosecutions or he's not going to win. He needs prosecutions and he needs to begin to turn the economy back. He doesn't need to make a full recovery, but he needs to push it back in that direction.
Well, until the last couple of weeks, I was becoming increasingly critical of Trump's inaction.
Yeah.
But he's done a couple of things that are really bombshell. I mean, number one, he signed the executive order throwing down the gauntlet against the tech giants and their censorship. Now, you know, we can argue and debate about whether that EO is going to be really effective, but at least he's sending out a warning shot to tell them that we're not going to tolerate this politically targeted censorship and that the tech companies can't hide behind the Section 230 protections for much longer. And that's critical. He should have done that a couple of years ago, in my opinion. So he was very late, but at least he did it now. Secondly, his announcement that he's going to declare Antifa to be a terrorist organization. If he makes good on this, then we know for sure that Trump is committed to winning this war and defeating the enemies of America. Do you realize that the ramifications of declaring that are so huge? Because how many Democrats running for office gave money to an Antifa group? Well, if Antifa is declared terrorist group, then that means these Democrats have given money to terrorists. And how many left-wing media organizations have celebrated Antifa? And how many left-wing college professors in California universities are active Antifa recruiters, you know, using their positions to recruit students into Antifa? And by the way, it also brings up the question, if you're a concealed carry holder and some Antifa lunatic is threatening you and you shoot them dead, isn't your legal defense that I've only shot a terrorist? You know? So it changes the rules of engagement. It changes the public debate. It's a very powerful move. So if Trump does that, it's gonna change the game here in our favor.
You're going to see, I agree with what you're saying. The justification for shooting, that's going to be a moving bar depending on who's doing the judging. According to the left, they can't have a hair touched on their head. They can do whatever
right.
they want. Okay, but, you know, all of us should be in jail. So it just depends on who's doing the judging. And I'm going to tell you, I'm so frustrated with Trump on this, on the 230 thing. I've told you the story, and, you know, and I won't go into any detail, but, you know, I'm sitting here with some prominent people in Branson, Missouri, talking to an advisor to the president, giving him the lowdown on 230. I know he got briefed, and there's no reason he didn't act before the midterm elections. This was 5 weeks before the midterms.
Yeah.
And he did not act.
That's right.
We lost the House of Representatives, and they have bogged down his administration. And now here we are again, coming up on the general election, and he's like the British cop without a gun. Stop or I'll say stop again. That's how I see this executive order. I want him to kick some ass. I'm tired of the excuses. I want an indictment.
Well, I'm right with you on that. I've called for Trump to declare the tech giants to be enemy combatants in a war against the United States.
Yes, yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And the way he can do that is once we get into a war with China, which seems imminent, and there's a designation that China is, in fact, an enemy nation waging war against America. And China is behind some of the funding of these current attacks, by the way, so that declaration may not be far away. Once that happens, as he laid out in his EO, Google is complicit with China, Facebook's complicit with China, Twitter is defending China, and so on. He can then declare that these tech companies to be engaged in either sedition or treason, depending on the legal framework that works best. And he can actually have the military seize them and shut them down temporarily until they perhaps sign a consent decree to respect the First Amendment, for example. That's just one example. So I think that Trump is actually laying the groundwork to be able to go after the tech giants in a very aggressive way, and that's exactly what needs to be done. At the same time, the American people need to understand that anyone who works for Facebook or works for Google or works for, you know, Twitter, they are, in effect, complicit in an enemy operation that is seeking to destroy the United States of America and working for the interests of the enemies of America. And that, you know, I'm not saying that anything bad should happen to those employees other than to remind them, to tell them, you're working for evil. You're like a soldier manning the, you know, the gas ovens in the Holocaust or whatever, running the trains to carry the prisoners to the execution chambers. That's what you are if you're working for these tech companies. And that needs to be stated nationwide, in my opinion.
Wow. That's a lot to digest right there.
yeah.
Listen, you're right. The key to winning this election is controlling big tech. I don't, you know, there's other factors too. He needs to show some economic recovery now. But he also needs prosecutions. I think if he
yeah.
lacks those things, he's not going to win. Because here's what happens, Mike. You got 70% of the country that's dumber than a box of rocks. No offense intended, but they're not involved in what's going on. They watch CNN and think it's real news.
Right.
And then you got 20% like us of the country that are awake to various degrees. And then you got 10% psychopaths, Democrats, and just people that want something for nothing, so they're attracted to that mentality. And the Democrats can win over the middle part of the country by controlling the media.
That's right.
And that's the danger here. And if he doesn't get control of big tech, he's losing. And it tells me it's a rigged game and it was designed for him to lose.
Well, I've called for no elections. The suspension of elections, yeah, and until free speech is restored for a period of 1 year. You know, the argument's very simple. We can't have elections unless people are free to exchange ideas so that they can make informed decisions about who they wish to vote for. So when you don't have free speech, you don't have fair and free elections. The elections are therefore rigged by the tech giants. We need at least 1 year of the restoration of freedom of speech before we can have any elections that could be considered fair and free. So I'm saying to suspend them for, until June of 2021. And by the way, I have an economic recovery plan for America. You want to hear it?
Sure.
We can sell pallets of bricks to George Soros. I hear he's buying.
He might be excreting them.
Yeah, true. Those are the bricks that somebody else that came out of.
Well, here's where he could be bricks coming out of George. The there's 56 indictments going out, from my understanding, for Antifa regional leaders. You only need one of them to roll over on him.
There you go. Yep, and they will. I mean, once you arrest those people and let them know they're no longer untouchable, you bring them in for interrogation in a federal facility and say, hey, you're being charged with terrorism. Would you like to talk? Guess what?
Yeah. NDAA.
Exactly.
You're an enemy combatant, and we're going to put you in a deep, dark hole until you start talking.
Well,
that's what I would do.
That's what's going to happen.
Hey, look, this is just Obama's medicine heading back in his direction.
That's true.
But this is why I said George could be excreting bricks. Because you only need one to roll over, and at some point, you know, George is smart enough to put himself 2 degrees at least of separation from these regional directors. But if you get someone, just for example, not to call her out personally, but Joanne Blades, who is the head of MoveOn.org. Okay, somewhere in there there's going to be a Joanne Blades, someone who's close to Soros, who's connected to these 56. But here's the problem with the strategy, Mike. It's Barr that's enforcing it. And Barr is deep state. Hey, look at Barr. We got the unmasking, and we know it leads to Obama. We know it led to Biden. And he says, we're not going to prosecute them. He didn't even investigate, and he's protecting them.
Yeah, there's a question of whether the corruption is so deep that America may never come out of it, that it's beyond saving. I mean, clearly Trump is the last shot at saving America from just total corruption and eventually, you know, collapse. But is Trump enough? I don't even know. And by the way, the economic situation, you know, as much as we've had all these bailouts and so on, you know, printing $10 trillion to bail out mostly the banks and the wealthy corporations, this is not good for long-term. You know, this is going to accelerate the financial collapse or the currency collapse that will be very damaging, you know, maybe fatal to the country. So I understand, you know, the need for temporary bailouts, but my goodness, the money printing is so far off the charts. How do we ever reel that back in? And I think the answer is we don't.
I got a standing ovation at the Arizona Breakfast Club about 7-8 years ago. When someone asked me a question, I said, what would you do about the staggering debt? And I said, it's easy. It's a lot of it's pyramid schemes. It's illegal. I said, debt repudiation. Let the bastards go broke. And I got a standing ovation from a knowledgeable audience. This is what needs to happen. We need to not pay any. You know, by the way, Mike, do you know that when your bank fails, the one problem is the FDIC only has 1.2% of the cash on hand to cover investments. But the biggest problem is this, is that in Melbourne, Australia in 2014, they set the order of progression for payouts when a bank fails. And the credit swap derivatives group, the Ponzi scheme crowd, gets to go first. We'll never see a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And then that needs to be a debt that's repudiated.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And even I think the next level beyond that is that the people of America need to own the currency system of America. it can't be some globalist banking cartel known as the Federal Reserve that we are perpetually indebted to, you know. But, I mean, we could spend an hour talking about just that issue, but a lot of the problems in America today are because of all the money printing, right? It's it's a looting of the people, you know. So the banks loot everybody, and then certain, you know, left-wing people loot retailers, and then in response to the collapse, the Federal Reserve loots more. But guess who's getting paid off, you know? All the wealthy, connected Washington, D.C. elitists and the bankers and the hedge fund managers and the corporate CEOs, they're all getting paid off and bailed out. They're fine. So, you know, there's going to be, if you think these riots are bad, wait until the monetary system collapses and the food stamps stop working and the dollar doesn't function and the ATMs are, you know, don't work, and you wake up and your bank account is frozen and stays frozen forever. Then you're going to see real riots, not just left-wing people, you know, everybody.
Well, you're leading to the inevitable. If what I think is going to happen next, you've got a you've got these embedded terrorists in America, okay? And these embedded terrorists are just waiting to pounce. In fact, they talk about this in federal law enforcement circles. They're expecting an Oklahoma City bombing. They're expecting MS-13 to carry out assassinations. I mean, I had a conversation with a high-ranking Texas Ranger 5 or 6 years ago about this. So, Mike, this is going to escalate. We're not going to be stuck in this place. They're going to turn up the heat. This is just one part of an overall scheme designed to weaken America and destabilize us, and so the country won't vote for Trump.
Yeah, and if... I'm not even sure elections are going to take place actually right now on schedule, because we may be in a war with China. We may be in a collapsed civil war situation. We may be under economic collapse. We may be in a second wave of a new strain that China releases, you know, another virus.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's worse than coronavirus, which turns out to be relatively easy to beat with nutrition. But you know they've got something more aggressive in the labs. And if you believe they released this one on purpose, why wouldn't they release the next one? You know, it's all part of the plan. So I don't know where we are in November, but think about just 6 months ago, nobody could have imagined where we are right now. Not even us. 6 months from now, we may not even recognize the world.
Well, my scenario, and I could be wrong, I mean, but I think, well, Obama signed us on to the Kigali Principles for a reason. In other words, if there's strife in a country, the UN, on their own say-so, can bring in 29 nations, a multinational force. And they're making noise at the United States right now over the murder of Floyd. So I look at them to perhaps assert themselves. Democrats will say, come in, we need your help. Look at the oppression. Look what Trump is doing. Troops in the street, murdering right. American citizens. Help us, help us, help us. And here comes the UN.
Right.
And there's your first military standoff. And I think we would win that standoff, but would we be so weak that the Chinese could sweep in with a Red Dawn invasion?
Well, I agree with your scenario. Completely agree. In fact, I think Obama has been planning this for years to lead the call for the UN to come in as peacekeepers, of course, because of the civil rights violation. No, wait, the human rights violations of America, because CNN has camera footage of black people being shot by soldiers. And of course, it's all edited to not show the attacks by the rioters, right? So the UN is going to say, well, we have to be peacekeepers and we have to stop the human rights abuses of the United States, while they're, of course, ignoring the actual organ harvesting and the prison gulags of China and the political executions in China. That doesn't count. But defending a federal building against violent looters, you know, that's a human rights violation, right? So the UN, I believe you're right, will dispatch troops, try to land them in the United States. Here's where I think they're not understanding the level of Well, the tipping point that has been reached in the minds of American patriots, civilians who are armed, the Second Amendment, the uprising from, you know, from the hills of North Carolina and all over the country, the uprising is going to be just historic. To kill every invading enemy that has set foot on U.S. soil, they will all be targeted, they will be killed. And people will sacrifice their lives if necessary to get that done, because frankly, a lot of American people are realizing if we don't defeat this, we're going to lose everything. So everything is on the line. There's no risk that is too great to entertain in order to stop this invasion and defend our country. That's what this comes down to.
Yeah, well, I agree. We can't give up. And if it means a fight, it means a fight. But I also want to project the other side here. Let's assume that Trump prevails. He defeats the UN. The Chinese hit the chicken switch saying, well, America's not taken down enough. We've got to back up. And Trump begins to subjugate them economically. I still know that the problems aren't going to go away. The Democratic Party will just go underground and we'll live in a situation like the Bosnian Civil War.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Democrats will engage in sabotage and secret killings, executions, political executions, death squads, anything that they can do, plus, of course, more riots. So ultimately, this is why I think Trump declaring Antifa a terrorist group is so important. Ultimately, you got to face and defeat the enemy of your country, even if that enemy is within. You have to name the enemies. You have to name the Senator Feinsteins. You have to name the Nancy Pelosis, the James Comeys, and so on. And you have to have them arrested and prosecuted or defeated. And it's a very big list. But you can't coexist with them. This is what I think Trump was slow to realize. You can't coexist with enemies of your nation. You can't coexist with a deep state that wants you dead. You can't reason with the lawless. You simply have to defeat them. And finally, Trump appears to be moving in that direction. The question is he too late? I don't know the answer, but I guess we're going to find out this year, huh?
Yeah, it's like what you said the last time we spoke on the air. You said, has he reached the point of no return? And I think we're going to find out. We agree on one thing. Trump needs to do dramatic things to get reelected. I mean dramatic stuff that will send CNN into a hissy fit.
Yeah, like arresting the communists at CNN, for example. That would be a good start.
I think that's too low. You know who needs to go down now? I mean, he just had his legal counsel fired. Christopher Wray. Wray needs to be arrested right now today. McCabe could be arrested right now today. If Trump did that, I'd go, holy crap, Batman, let's get involved.
Well, right. Yeah, there are a lot of traitors, including, by the way, Jeff Sessions. I'm not saying necessarily he should be arrested, but he is part of the deep state, and he betrayed America with what he, allowed to happen in the DOJ until Barr came in. Now, the question is Barr doing the right thing? Is Durham's investigation actually making progress? Are the arrests coming against deep state traitors? We've all been lied to for so long that I think a lot of us have lost faith that any system of justice really exists anymore in this country.
I agree. We need to see Rudolph Giuliani or Trey Gowdy in that AG's position and just say, go get him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what needs to happen. Or Ted Cruz. Make Ted Cruz the attorney general. He'd go after him. You know what I mean?
Do you know who Ted's wife is?
No, I don't.
Heidi Cruz. CFR member. She works at Goldman Sachs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have heard that before.
I don't trust Ted any farther. I can throw him. He gets on populist causes for 5 minutes and then moves on to the next populist cause.
Yeah, you're probably right. I was just thinking that at least he's spoken out against Section 230 quite a bit.
Yeah, he did. But where is he today?
Yeah.
Why isn't he out there reinforcing what Trump is saying? And that's the other thing with Trump. You're the boy that cried wolf. I don't want to hear your words. I don't want to see your tweets. I want to see an indictment.
I'm done listening to Trump. It's a do-or-die time. Right. And think about this, too. If the elections actually happen in November, no matter who wins or loses, half the country won't accept it under the current conditions. There's I mean, think about it. If a Democrat wins, it's only by vote rigging, you know, fraud by mail. If Trump wins, the left is going to come up with a reason to say that he stole it maybe with the Russians again or Martians or whatever. And half the country is not going to accept it. I don't think that we are living in a society anymore where the two political sides can coexist and respect elections anymore. I mean, if we did, we wouldn't be under all this censorship by the tech giants. They're declaring all-out war against speech.
Well, this is what was said in the Reconstruction period. South and North can't coexist. So what did the North do? They kicked the crap out of them.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but that's how the only reason the South is still in the Union today and now integrated into the United States is because the North brought in the carpetbaggers and the scalawags, and they took advantage of them. And it was terrible government, and it was oppressive. But the South would have just kept on going their merry way if that hadn't happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there needs to be a major purge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking, God, I hate to bring up QAnon because I have no faith in him, but I think it's AI anyway. But I think if you arrested 5,000 people with some notables out front, that'd be a good start.
Yeah, there are probably, 50,000 who need to be arrested, right? maybe more, but yeah, something's got to happen or we do lose everything. And I tell you, at some point, never forget the Second Amendment option here, because right now, the American people, I feel, at least the conservative Second Amendment supporters, have been kind of holding their stance for a while to see, to give justice a chance, to give Trump a chance. And to some degree, I think that some of the messaging from controlled information sources has been trying to delay a Second Amendment reaction against tyranny. But the tipping point is getting very close to where there's a Second Amendment, I think, activation, just a spontaneous uprising of militia and citizens, especially when your cities are burning down and your retail stores are on fire. Why not pick up your rifle and defend your property? Why not? What do you got to lose? That point is here.
Well, here's what no one talks about, and I'm going to do that soon. And I'm speaking in a real formal, detailed way. But generally, what no one's talking about is what happens when the Democrats win. No one's processing this, Mike, and this is what scares me. This is what keeps me up at night, and I can't seem to interest people in the topic. It's 5 years ago, and I'm talking about Red Dawn invasion again.
Yeah.
No one wants to listen. And I'm just going to give you a real quick observation. Let's say Hillary's in charge, okay? And choose your running mate, doesn't matter, but she's in charge. She wins. By this time next year, people like you and me will be in jail for sedition. We're subversives against the Republic. And they'll use everything we've written and said against us. I guarantee you, they will purge the alternative media. That'll be first.
Yes, yes.
The second thing is you'll have opposition people like Rand Paul slip on banana peels, courtesy of MS-13. They will have a reign of terror. There'll be a Robespierre. Actually, the better analogy is there'll be a Bolshevik revolution. Because, the white Russians, what they did after the Bolsheviks won, they said, hey, come on in. We don't want any trouble. Let bygones be bygones. Just bring your gun. We want a gun-free society. And they shot them in the head with their own guns.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing that Hillary Clinton is going to bring to the table. And no one's talking about the purges. I mean, during the campaign in 2016, Mike, she said, you guys, you deplorables, you all need to go to fun camps. We know what she meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. The question is, who's going to carry out her orders and what's going to happen in the ranks of the military if she comes to power? And there's a legitimate argument that the election was stolen. What if Trump says, we refuse to accept the outcome of this rigged election? We're going to take it to the Supreme Court.
Ain't going to matter. Hillary, this is the other thing I'm going to be talking about. I totally agree with you. She would get a lot of opposition from within the U.S. government and within the military. But if she's not dealing with the military, if she's dealing with a multinational force, we're under martial law. We have dangerous sedition going on in our country. That's why she can go off the alternative media, and she'll have the UN here to do her bidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
If you look at the FEMA documents, FM 39.4, and they talk about the FEMA construction camps, they start talking about American officers in the beginning, but they are to train foreign officers. And the reason you would do that is because you're going to execute a hell of a lot of Americans there that American officers might not execute.
Uh-huh.
And right. and it was the Obama people that put together FM 39.4. They're telling you what they're going to do. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but I know how to read the English language.
Well, you know, there was a novel series, 299 Days, right, that talked about that exact scenario. And in the books is what needs to happen in reality. It becomes a civilian Second Amendment uprising to fight it out county by county, town by town, to take your country back. And, you know, it's an all-out war at that point. Now, as you well know, if that happens, then that leaves the door open for, you know, Hillary to invite in more Chinese troops, for example.
Well, they'll
or
be
UN
part
troops.
Of the UN. They'll be the UN.
There you go. So the people will end up fighting on many fronts, you know, multiple fronts. So that's why this if there is an election, it's so crucial. Even if people don't necessarily like Trump, and he can be annoying at times, especially when he's slow to declare these things, think about the alternative. You know, if the Democrats get into power ever again, they will destroy this country in 1 year. They will gut it. We now know that's their goal. I mean, Obama had to operate in an environment where he was faking like he wasn't trying to destroy America, even though he was. But if a Democrat comes to power now, they won't even pretend. It'll just be total destruction, collapse, mass executions, bring in China, surrender to the communists. Right in your face.
Have you ever seen The Man in the High Castle?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is something I've foreseen down the road, too. What would occupation forces look like in America? And to me, it would be like The Man in the High Castle. On the West Coast, not the Japanese, you'd have the Chinese.
Right.
And in the other part of the country, the eastern half, you'd have the Russians.
Uh-huh.
It's a scenario, it's not my top scenario, but it's one that I could see coming to fruition. But we keep coming back to this. No matter who wins, we're going to be in a Bosnian Civil War situation.
We are. Yeah, even if Trump wins, the left is going to continue to run their terror cells all across the country. And that's why the next few months are just absolutely critical. If we don't defeat the left before the election, you know, substantially, I'm talking about Antifa and the uprisings and so on, if we don't reestablish law and order, is what I'm saying, then Trump's chances are very poor.
I talked to some special ops. And some of them, one of them was very high ranking and best source I have. Well, others are just kind of like rank and file guys. And I have a feeling, though, Mike, and no one talks about this either. If we lose this election and the purge starts against conservative Americans, you're going to see these special forces taking out some of these Democrats that have household names.
Yeah.
I know what's going to happen. I don't know if you get this from people you talk to or not, but I'm hearing these kinds of things. I mean, they're saying, you think we're going to lay down and die? Huh? Paul Martin gets the same thing. He knows a lot of special ops guys. And he's saying exact same thing. So the bottom line is there any way out of this catastrophe where there's going to be endless fighting and millions of deaths?
Well, I doubt it. And once you realize the left has, in their own minds, declared total war against America and all patriots and all those who believe the Constitution and so on, then the only answer is, you know, if they're willing to carry out violence and destruction, you know, deliberate destruction, economic destruction as well, the only answer is you're going to have to engage them. Because you can't just back off and say, oh, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to look bad facing off against these people. You have to engage them and defeat them one way or another. Otherwise, you're going to end up retreating all the way to Mexico and just letting them take over your whole country. You can't retreat. You can't give up your home. You're going to have to fight for it. And yeah, at some point in this, the average clueless American who's still watching, you know, Joy Behar or whatever on daytime TV, you know, they're going to realize that, oh my God, the world involves more than bingo and bridge clubs, and they're going to have to, you know, get off their butts and actually make something happen. And that's going to be a difficult realization for a lot of people.
Well, everyone has their tolerance point. And I talk about the 70% in the middle who are very ignorant to various degrees. But there is a time when you can't put shoes on your kids' feet or food on their table. There is a time that people will start paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know what that critical mass is. I would have thought the destruction of the economy and the taking of all these jobs would have done it. I mean, it's interesting to me that we even get white people who are protesting the Floyd murder. But where were they when they had their jobs ripped away unconstitutionally? Walmart would stay open, but their businesses couldn't.
Well, yeah, and I've even said this in a podcast. Where was Black America when, you know, 200,000 Black men and women were killed last year by the cancer industry? You know, the Big Pharma kills far more African Americans than corrupt police. It's not even close. But they're protesting all the wrong things. You know, the real enslavement is from Big Tech and the Federal Reserve and Big Pharma and the vaccine industry and things like that. But none of that is being protested against. They've got the wrong targets.
Hmm. Well, what can people do right now?
Well, number one, definitely move to all alternative platforms. Move away from the Big Tech ecosystems. Move over to, you know, Parler.com and Gab and Brighteon.
Brighteon, yep.
Right, that's my video platform. Mm-hmm. We're launching a search engine for health truth information pretty soon. That's webseed.com. And, there's allsocial.com and others that are coming up. If you're going to get any truth, you got to move to the alternative platforms. And you have to share content there and bring your friends there. And then secondly, get stockpiled. You know, food and ammunition, medicine, communications gear, all these things, night vision equipment. You better have this stuff because they're going to, you know, the powers that be are going to use food scarcity as a weapon, and they're going to try to confiscate your firearms, maybe steal your gold. The dollar may suffer a collapse. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen. You better be prepared. That way you don't become a victim and have to turn yourself into a FEMA camp for a meal.
Well, that's what's coming. That's why they're creating the food shortages. But I got to tell you, you're right on the money about turning yourself into a FEMA camp. They practiced that in 2011. Aaron Dykes covered this, did a really good job. And it was at Sports Authority Field, Denver, where the Broncos played at the time. And the FEMA and DHS started plucking kids from the Denver elementary schools without telling anybody. They just
Oh, yeah.
Them. Yeah, I mean, and the parents would show up for Johnny's dentist appointment at 1 o'clock. Well, where's my kid? Well, the feds took him over to Sports Authority Field. What? What? And they had hired these crisis actors. Aaron was covering this. They hired the crisis actors. They didn't even need them. The parents were trying to tear down the gates to get in to get their kids.
Yeah.
But this is what they'll do. You're absolutely right. They'll use food. They'll use children. We used to do these bus evacuation drills. My son was in school. And I told him, I said, you can play with the drill, but when you know it's real, this is the route you take and you call me.
Yeah.
You don't get on the bus.
Right.
Because this is what they're going to do. We need a part two on this because we're just scratching surface here.
I know.
But, you know, it's funny. You just advised people the same way I advised a nurse today. I had a medical appointment today, and she knows about my show, and we talk a lot when I go in. And she said, what do you think I can do? And I just went through the same list you did. It was kind of ironic to hear this. Yeah, I mean, you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, tools, and communication.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have allies. You have to build allies. You need to get out of the city. I mean, these are all things we know to be true. And, Mike, we're in big trouble. I want to make sure I give out every way people can follow you because people need to follow you. Brighteon, excuse me, outstanding. News Target. I'm on News Target Natural News 2 or 3 times a day. You not only do a great job there, you got good writers. You got people like Ethan Huff. I like these people a lot.
Well, great.
They do a great job. So those are the two websites, Brighteon. Anything else, Mike, we need to know about?
Well, yeah, naturalnews.com.
I thought I said that, but it, yeah, natural
okay, yeah,
news.
You did. Sure. And just for, people need to understand, you can't share any links from any of those websites on Facebook. The entire site has been blacklisted from all sharing, even in private messaging. That's the level of censorship that they've afflicted against us now. So the only way to share our content or even share videos that you like on Brighteon is to use the alternative platforms that I mentioned earlier. That's what it's coming down to.
You know what should have happened in doing that to you? They do a lot of that to me, too. And what should have happened, Mike, was we should all have banded together and class action sue under Section 230. We don't need even an attorney general to do it. That's an actionable offense where they're violating the platform rules.
The problem is every lawsuit's been thrown out. It's just been dismissed under Section 230, which is absurd because the tech giants are violating 230 because they're editorializing in their selective censorship. But there are some new lawsuits coming up that take a different angle, perhaps an antitrust angle, unfair practices, you know, deceptive trade practices and so on, that might break this thing. But the big thing is going to come from, frankly, lawmakers. We're going to have a revision in the law, and maybe, as Trump commanded in his executive order, have the FTC reinterpret what Section 230 means. That could be the opening.
Yeah, and if you have deep staters there, we know how that's going to be.
Exactly. There's the problem. It's all run by the deep state.
It'll be a COVID-19 conspiracy team. Yeah, it's absolutely true. Well, Mike, you need to stay safe, because I will tell you this. Someone told me this the other day, and I won't say who on the air, but they said, Dave Hodges, you're a target. And I'm going to tell you, Mike, you're a target. All of us right now doing what we're doing are targets for the deep state.
Well, we know that. We know that. And that's why we've worked so hard to become hard to find and hard to kill. So
that's true. We're both pretty remote. That's exactly right. Well, we've been speaking with Mike Adams from Natural News, News Target. These are all .coms. And, of course, Brighteon, great video service. And Mike, I appreciate so much you coming on and sharing your expertise, and we're going to have to do this again sooner.